Keep it quiet. Keep it secret. Don't tell anybody. Jesus says that again and again in the Gospel of Mark. And every time it puzzles the disciples, it puzzles the people Jesus helps, and it puzzles us. Jesus heals a blind man, and then he sternly tells him not to tell anybody. He gives some blessed relief to a man living in a graveyard possessed by demons. The man wants to follow him, but Jesus says, go home. Give thanks to God. Such wonderful things, inspiring things, uplifting things, things people would want to hear about, things that would give Jesus notoriety and fame and credibility, things that would really pull in the crowds if only everybody knew about them. But Jesus won't have any of that. He tells each person sternly, keep it quiet. And when Simon Peter, his friend, finally figures out who this Galilean carpenter rabbi is really, Jesus tells him to keep that quiet first. Keep it quiet. Keep it secret, Jesus insists. Until now. Now, in the streets of Jerusalem, Jesus lets the people shout all they want. He now lets them sing Hosanna. Now he lets blind Bartimaeus, the loudest blind guy in the whole Bible, shout out, blessed are you, son of David. Now Jesus rides in on a donkey, which sounds like a humble animal to us, but it was the animal that Jewish kings rode on their way to their coronations. Now he lets the disciples and all the people give him the full royal treatment, spreading palm branches and cloaks on the ground in front of him and singing songs of triumph. No more secrets. Let them shout all they want. Why the change? Because this is Jerusalem. Because for some time now, Jesus has known that he must go to Jerusalem, and he must go there to challenge the corrupt and deadly and life-destroying axis of power between the Jewish elites and the Roman authorities. Like the great prophets before him, Jesus knows he must speak out. He must speak out against powerful leaders of Israel who've led their people into danger, who've led their people into complacency, into a deadly sense of entitlement. Because for some time now, Jesus has known how it will go for him in Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets. You see, before this moment, when people ran around proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, they didn't really know what they were saying. They'd have thought of him as some kind of a wonder worker, a kind of a magician, who could go around producing spectacular and unexpected healing whenever he felt like it. Or they'd have thought of him maybe as a potential military leader, a new version of Gideon, who would be the one to drive the Romans out of town. Or they'd have thought of him as a new king, like David, who would build a palace and make Israel an empire again. See, different people would have thought different things, and they'd all have been wrong. And Jerusalem will teach them the truth. Yes, Jesus is Messiah. But he's a Messiah who accomplishes his task through utter obedience to God the Father, even when that leads him to suffering and rejection, not success and acclaim. Yes, he is king. But no, he won't be living in a palace, he'll be dying on a Roman cross. Yes, he is a conqueror. But he's not just going to conquer Romans for the sake of Jews, or any one tribe for the sake of any other tribe. He's going to conquer sin and darkness and death for the sake of everyone. Jerusalem will teach them that. Jerusalem will teach us that. So Mark takes us on a difficult journey this morning, this complex day in our church's life. Mark takes us on a journey from the triumph to the trial, and from the trial to the cross. And along the way, if our hearts are open, we learn that Jesus is more than we thought he was. We learn that Jesus won't fit into our human categories. We learn to embrace both sides of this paradoxical day, the triumph and the trial. We learn that without the cross, the triumphant entry is really just another parade. And without the triumphal entry, without the people singing the truth about Jesus, even if they didn't really understand it, without Jesus accepting their praises and affirming them, without those things, the cross, Jesus' cross, is just another tragic state murder. But when we can hold both of those things together, as Mark wants us to, as this liturgy that we're celebrating together invites us to do, when we can hold those things together, when we can let Mark and this day lead us into this mysterious paradox, this in-between place, this place with room for the triumph and the tragedy, when we can go to that place, then that's where we find it. That's where we find nothing less than the real presence of God Himself in that tragic, vulnerable place. God Himself in the middle of our broken world. God Himself there to face the demons which possess our world, the darkness which threatens to engulf it. That's where we find God, in that place, to let those forces of evil do their worst, and then to triumph over them. Hosanna and the cross. When we can hold those two things together, the triumph and the cross, it's then And it's only then that we can shout too. It's then and it's only then that we can shout and know what we're shouting. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes to save us. Blessed is the one who brings God's kingdom. In Jesus' name.